thus the view I have no self is just as much a doctrine of self as the view I have a self. And then he talks about the act of clinging involves eye-making. So I don't know whether his words are clear. But
yeah, but the Buddha says that the realities are not self. He doesn't say there is no self, he just says the realities are not self.
But that's the thing of implying that beyond that somewhere there's a self, isn't it? Beyond the canvas.
Yes, but beyond the realities, what is there?
There is no self. There's just realities.
Right. I understand your point. Why did he just say there is no self? But
he did.
He did say that.
No.
He didn't.
He didn't come out and directly say.
Where did he say that?
He just said that the khandhas are not self. There's no self in there.
There is no self could never be proved by direct experience.
Because it's not like saying there is no self. Does it make awareness arise?
If you say the khandhas are not self, that is something that can be verified one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
To say there is no self is an abstract.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any commentary on the ayatanas? I'm just looking at a note of Bhikkhu Bodhis to the Pahana Sutta. I actually mentioned it the other day, but now I've got the note, but not the sutta in front of me. It's talking about the 12 ayatanas, and then I mentioned that after referring to the 12 ayatanas, it specifically mentions contact and feeling, but we know these were included in Dhammayatana, so everyone agrees. And then he says that mano, as a separate factor, the supporting condition for mind consciousness, is narrower than mind base. And according to the commentaries, it refers to Bhavanga Citta.
This is the assimilation of Ayatana, or the awareness of Ayatana.
Well, the sutta itself is referring to the Ayatanas. But after mentioning the Ayatanas, it particularly mentions Vedana and Pasa, but that's no problem. These are examples of Dhammayatana. But then it also mentions Mano. And he's saying that this is referring to the Bhavanga Cittas. Are you familiar with this?
And what other cittas? Only that?
Only that.
So, Kusala Citta, is it Manayatana or not?
Yes.
So it's not only Bhavanga?
No, I know. And among the bases, contact and feeling included in Dhammayatana. I understand what is included
Think about the six ayatana, the indayatana, five arupa. So one is nama.
Yes.
So he think that since the five are the best, so before the mind process can begin, it needs the pavanga as pavanga.
Right, he's thinking of it as base. Yeah. Okay, so it's getting confused between the basis and the, he's thinking of ayatanas as basis, but it's quite different. For example, mindfulness of the body, kayanupassana, or suttas talking about kayanupassana, and we say, well, this includes understanding of namas and rupas. Do you have anything to add?
When awareness is aware of rupa of the body, at the part of the body, it is kayanupassana satipatthana, what we take for our body. And there is a characteristic of a reality there. And Panya begins to know that it's no body, it's only a reality.
Why would this be stressed or emphasized for some people rather than just be aware of any...
Depending on the alertness of sati. Can we tell sati to be aware here and there?
No. So why would the Buddha point out
Kayanupassana
in particular? Oh, not only kaya. What about Vedananupassana?
I think I asked this question the other day and Ajahn said, and other times he stresses other anupassanas.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes stresses Gaya, sometimes Vedana.
Just as example.
Yeah.
Is it according to what is more suitable for the person at the time or just an example?
It's like now we're talking about visible object. According to the
object.
It's not that the Buddha knew that, okay, Betty needed to hear about visible object and this person about sound notes.
If there is no understanding of visible object, yet should we talk about it more?
Well, sometimes it may have been to do with the particular audience, mainly.
Like Rahula,
as
reads that it's stressing the body.
Nama and Rupa should be known and understood.
Right.
No use to think about whether this one is urged by Buddha or not.
Or who finds visible object discouraging?
Or who finds it easy?
You're praising the virtues of Buddha. Yeah. Each time you say that it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, for some people, difficulty is a condition for feeling discouraged, and I suppose, and for others it's not.
What's the use of being discouraged?
You could study it, John, as a Jesuit.
What's the use of being discouraged?
Try telling that to a person who feels
not
discouraged
the
a lot.
When this eye is discouraged.
I'm not going to study discouragement.
Being discouraged is a good one.
Too real.
You want everything to be in your way, or even in moderation. You feel discouraged.
Yes, it's not good to know how much we don't know.
Yes,
it is after the first shock wears off.
Rather than think that we know a lot, it's not panya at all.
What I heard Tanitam was saying that eventually, even kusala has to be given up.
Now that's discouraging.
When I hear reminders about seeing visible objects, it's just like having a big burden lifted off, a feeling of lightness that all the other burdens one's used to carrying around have been removed.
I think particularly when there's problems and there's a moment of realizing that there's just moments. Seeing, there's no problem in seeing.
No
problem in hearing and smelling and tasting. It's just in the story there's a problem, but not in the moment.
And the seeing here or there or anywhere is just the same.
And is it not good? You didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful.
Just developing understanding.
Not forgetting that.
Life is so difficult when you think that another place would be better, or one should be sitting in a particular way, or one should be focusing on an object, or one should be married or shouldn't be married. Life is so very, very complicated, but when one knows there's nothing that needs to be done, whatever your personality, whatever your lifestyle, it's just seeing and hearing.
Just accept either.
It's very uplifting, I think.
I think just remember Nama Rupa all the time. Whenever you have any questions and doubts, bring it back to Nama Rupa.
And you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to concentrate.
Right, you don't have to concentrate.
You don't.
But if you said, "Oh, I don't have to do anything," it just happens. Just let go.
And reality will appear as it is. But don't let you go.
It really means that there will be things done, but there's no one who does it.
Or even you're flat out at work, or you're in the bathroom. There can be wise reflection or considering any time. There can be awareness any time at all.
There's no limitation. Particular thing to be done.
Of Nama and Rupa.
And it saves you from disturbing thinking.
Yes, I do notice that, especially when it's really, really busy at work, for example. And it's kind of like occasionally it's like, well, I can't be anywhere else. There's only this work to be done. There's only this to do.
Because you see, it's not your function, but it's sati's function. If sati arises, but since sati does not arise, it sounds very difficult because of lopa, clinging.
Clinging for something to happen or to have it different to what it is.
I'm sorry to bring up so many complicated and difficult points.
Because in the Tripitaka and commentaries, and people would like to understand better. But if we think about the usefulness of the teachings, we'll come back to know how much we can understand by ourselves.
And how much we need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because those are the panya of Buddhas and Arahatas. The more we can understand how limited our panya is, the more we'll be very humble and respectful.
It's no problem not to understand. I don't have to feel I'm the only one that hasn't got it.
You study the mana.
Could we say in the time of the Buddha that the climatic conditions were very favourable?
What do you mean?
One of my friends who was a monk here said that during the time of the Buddha, and there were many arahats.
He were born too. So was that time favorable?
The conditions for when a Buddha is around, that there's many arahats and that the rains fall when they should and the crops produce when they should.
Those people had developed lots of understanding, like we're now doing.
So the climatic has nothing to do with it, it's just an aside.
Oh, those who were ready. Thank you.